Let's ask the Lord to help us. It's kind of hard from here on in. Paul is under arrest, and you could ask why, and that would be a good question. So, Father, we don't understand this unless you and your Holy Spirit illumines our minds and our hearts to receive what you have in your word. And we have much to learn from Paul and how he reacted to his people that imprisoned him. And Lord, I sure wouldn't have done it the way he did, with grace and kindness. I would have been still demanding my rights. But we have much to learn from him. And we pray now that your Holy Spirit would just quiet our minds and open our hearts, that we might go home with some special nugget of truth today and be encouraged by it. And we'll simply give you the praise, Lord, for what you're going to do. And we do pray for a couple of our leaders that have had grief in the last couple of days, that you might minister to them, meet their needs, Lord. We feel for them, and we love them, and we miss them. Bless us now, Lord, and we'll simply give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you'd like to open up to Acts 24, that's where we begin today. It's 5 days after Paul had left Jerusalem for Caesarea. Ananias, the high priest, arrived with certain members of the Sanhedrin, hand-picked, obviously, and they hired a Roman named Tertullus to be the prosecuting attorney, and his duty was to stand before Felix and pass charges against Paul. Nothing like trying to prove that you're innocent. No, they were trying to prove he was guilty. Tertullus opened the case for the prosecution by showering the governor with flattery. You know, I think things just never change, do they? So he, of course, wanted the governor to be on his side because he would pass sentence. And so he flattered him. But Felix had maintained rule and order by suppressing riots and insurrection. He wouldn't allow it. He came up with an obvious effort to ingratiate his cause with the governor, and just by flattery. Flattery will get you everything, right? Well, they had 4 distinct charges against the Apostle Paul. It was interesting reading this last week, because one commentary had these 4, and another commentary had these 4, and somebody else had 2 that were different. And then I thought, So I'll just give it to you how I see it to make it easier. They said Paul was a nuisance. Now, I don't know if you can get arrested for being a nuisance, but I probably should have been a long time ago, because I'm a pest. But he was considered a nuisance. And then he was considered a creator of revolt against some of the Jews. No, all of the Jews. And then he was called the ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. And the last one is he profaned the temple. In other words, it was sacrilegious what he did. Of course, none of these things were true. The apostle answered the charges that were against him one by one. He had no one standing with him. Please note that as we go through this. So, one by one. First, far from being a public nuisance, he had only been there 13 days. And I wrote that down, pretty much what they thought he had done in 13 days. First of all, Paul arrived in Jerusalem. Then he met with James and the elders. Remember, it was James and the elders that said, we think we should go to the temple with these 4 Nazarites who are ending their vow. And the fourth day he was in the temple, the fifth day he was in the temple, and then the sixth day he was arrested in the temple. I think of all the nasty things. Can you imagine sitting here on a Sunday morning and the police come in and arrest you? Boy, wouldn't that start some gossip? No. Then in the seventh day he met with the Jewish council, that would be the Sanhedrin, the 70. And then the eighth day they threatened to take him to Caesarea, that'd be down on the coast. The ninth day, remember, he went off with all these soldiers. He had half a battalion with him. And tenth day he waited for Felix, sent for the Jewish leaders. 11th day he waited for the Jewish leaders still to arrive. 12th day he waited, and then the hearing was scheduled, and the 13th day the hearing conducted. So he had no time to start a riot, or no time to be a pest to everybody. That's the last thing from his mind. He had gone up to the temple to worship, but little did they check on that. He denied, he incited the Jews to rebel anytime, either in the temple or out of the temple or any place. And the third thing is, he did not deny that he was the ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Even Jesus was called that, as the head of the Nazarenes. So you'll never find Paul denying that. But he made it very strong. He served the God of the Jews, believing all things which was written in the Old Testament. Now you can actually go through the Old Testament, and every place you can, almost every page, you can find the Lord on every page in the Old Testament. That's a fun experience to do if you want to get started. Jesus is everywhere in the Old Testament. And Paul also believed in the resurrection. He believed in the resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And besides, Paul had brought money that he had collected in Macedonia and Greece, and it was marked for the Hebrew Christians, saints in Jerusalem. In regards to the fourth charge, he had profaned the temple. I think this is interesting because those four fellows that Paul had gone with into the temple were all Jews from Asia Minor. But the people around just assumed that Paul was taking Gentiles into the temple. So they said, look, he's taking those four guys in beyond where they're supposed to go. He's profaned the temple. They were Jews from Turkey and not Gentiles at all. And they had finished their vow, and Paul was going to pay for it. There was a fine that went with it. But can you imagine? They accused him of that. Then John Phelps, one of the commentaries that I enjoy reading because he's very thorough, he said that these were the things that they accused him of: sedition, sectarianism, ringleader of the sect of Nazarenes, and sacrilegious. Those were the things they had brought up against Paul. As I say, he had only been there 13 days. How could he have all those things going? But he started problems. They were sure of it. So these four fellows had finished their vow and had been in the temple. And my question is, where are they? Where is it even one of them to defend Paul? They just disappeared. Where was Claudius? Claudius had been behind Paul when they had been in Jerusalem, and knew that Paul was innocent. Where was he? And it gets worse. No one is standing with Paul. And he had done nothing against the Jewish people or their religion. In fact, he only wanted to worship. The acceptable way to worship, he felt, was through Jesus Christ. That's how you worship the Father. Paul's faith was founded on the Old Testament scriptures. As I say, you can find Christ on every page. And they bore witness to Jesus Christ. And our faith, you and I, our faith rests on the Old Testament. We owe everything to the Jews. Don't ever forget that. What I really liked about this lesson were the characters that are involved in it. And I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce Tertullus. He's Roman, and I'm not sure if that's correct pronunciation or not. I meant to look it up before I left home, but I forgot. And he was a lawyer. That I'm sure you had doubts about that. No, he was a lawyer. And he was employed by the Jews to find Paul guilty. And then there was Ananias. And I know you had a dumb question on your lesson that talked about, have you ever met any of these fellows before? Well, no, you haven't met any of them, but you know their position. You know that Sanhedrin runs the country under the Romans, and you know the governor runs it for the Romans, and that familiar word, Ananias. Wasn't Ananias involved with Paul when he got saved? Yes. Ananias is a very common name. So that was the point of the question, is to show you that these are different people. And remember from last week, Ananias had stolen money from the other priests in order to have control and power. Nothing ever changes, does it? I thought, man, hasn't gotten any better. He's just gotten a lot worse. And he was a Roman sympathizer, and that was what really frosted the Jews. Anybody that sympathized with Rome. So in the year 66, this is about 4 years before Jerusalem fell, the Jews rose up against the Romans, and the first person they took out, one of the first persons they took out was Ananias the high priest, because he was such a godly man. No, he was hiding in the Herod's aqueduct, trying to get away from the Jews that were trying to kill him. Anyway, he didn't make it. And then Felix, he was very subject to flattery. And I think Felix is an interesting person because he was Greek and he was a slave. And it was Claudius that got him out of slavery. But he was a mean guy and very cruel and very lustful. And we'll see that in his marriage here in a minute. Porcius Festus, who we're going to have next week, he replaces Felix as the governor. And but the thing that really bothered me most of this is that they were trying to prove Paul was guilty before he was anything else. Aren't you glad for our system? Well, it used to be our system, that you were innocent until proven guilty. And I still think that's the best way. The prosecutor's accusation against Paul were no more truthful than the flattery was that they gave him. But the lawyer, he was a lawyer through and through. And there should have been somebody that stood up with Paul. And I kept thinking, how come? Maybe it was too dangerous. That was the only thing I could finally come up with. It was too dangerous maybe to stand up with Paul. But it sure is tough. Have you ever been in a place where you're all by yourself and the people that you trusted in, you thought were going to support you, and they didn't? And you're just left, and you feel so alone. Well, the Lord allows that to happen in all of our lives at some time because he wants you to get to know him better. If you feel just terribly isolated and terribly alone, the Lord is just calling you to himself, to get to know him, get to know his word, and to be encouraged by him. And sometimes we're so busy, well, my family should be supporting me, or, well, how come the neighbors don't know I need something, or where's my church? And here you're missing the whole point of just drawing close to the Lord and having him tell you, whisper in your ear what he wants from you, and you miss the blessing. Well, how did you like those characters you had to look up? And there's the character of Felix and Drusilla. And Felix had governed with cruelty and treachery for 7 years. So you can imagine nobody got out of line. That's one way to do it. But Drusilla, doesn't she sound like some wicked woman? Well, I have an active imagination, as you know. And I could see the woman that was in 101 South Dalmatians with long fingers. Who would ever name their daughter Drusilla? It just has that flavor of wickedness. Anyway, I shouldn't have read anything into that. But she was the youngest daughter of Herod, so she was off to kind of a bad start. She was the youngest daughter, and I think he beheaded, well, he went after the children of Bethlehem, and then another Herod beheaded John the Baptist, and they were just really awful people. And her father murdered James, eventually, the head of the church in Jerusalem. So he tried for Peter too. I can remember back on that one. Then as a small girl, her father betrothed her to marry the crown prince of Asia Minor. And I just felt for her at that point. But the fella had to be circumcised because she was a Jew. Now, isn't it, you know, it's carrying out the law strangely, because they certainly weren't following the law. And so he wouldn't get circumcised. So they annulled the wedding, which was good because she was just a child. And then her brother, I believe it is, found somebody else in Syria for her to marry, and she couldn't stand them and ran away. And she ran after Felix. And this was his third marriage, and it was sort of her third marriage. And she was just a teenager, she was 16. So I feel for her, even though her name is Priscilla, and she's wicked, somehow. Oh, dear. I entertain myself when I do my lessons. But you know what? How Paul looked at him? He looked at him as lost, and they all needed Christ. Now, I wouldn't have looked at him that way. I would have looked at him as a bunch of wicked people. And if I was looking at him as a bunch of wicked people, I would never have platform to be able to share Christ with them. And I think just that prejudgment. Instead, Paul looked at them and saw them as lost souls, souls without hope. And how do you look at the people around you, your neighbors? You know, you can be gone just like that, and your opportunity can be just taken away so fast. And just think about that. People that are around you. Okie dokie. You didn't like this lesson, neither did I. If I had thought about it a little more, I would have tossed out a couple of questions. But then you would have said, oh, it's too easy, I can get it done in 5 minutes. So I left them in, but There's a couple I would think I would take out if I ever did it again. I'm trying to find the one that I thought was so meaningless. Oh, the trick question. The trick. How have you met any of these people before? No. Trick question. Yes. Sorry about that. I would take it out. But you've met their, what's it called? Their position or their office or their, so that you would be familiar with that. We've looked at the Sanhedrin. That's 70 plus the high priest. And then we've looked at the governor before, Herod's we've looked at, all throughout the book of Acts. So, but it was a poor question, and I apologize for it. I was trying to get you the idea of that these aren't the same people that we're running into now with Paul. Next week's lesson's better. I had a very hard question next week's lesson. I took it out. Well, I didn't want to get stoned next week. So I apologize. I'm still learning too, you know. And it's interesting that in 2424, some day after the public trial, Felix and Drusilla arrange to have a private interview with the apostle. Can you imagine? They wanted to hear more about the Christian faith. You think? I don't know. I question that. But once they talked about judgment, then who got scared? Felix. There's nothing like a guilty conscience to make you terrified about judgment. It's coming. Don't put off making that decision. And you say, well, you know, I've confessed my sins. They're under the blood. I know Christ has forgiven me, but it still haunts me. It's very possible that you've either had a divorce or an abortion or something horrific, and you can't let go of it. And my say is that Satan doesn't want you to let go of it. So once you give it to Christ, once you ask for his forgiveness, know it's gone. And you'll say to the Lord, don't you remember when I did such and such? And the Lord will say, no, I don't remember. And you say, but God, you remember? And he says, no, I choose not to remember. And it's gone as far as the east is from the west, from the deepest part of the ocean, never to be brought up again. And so your conscience, don't let Satan take your conscience and rub it in by reminding you, remember when you did this, and remember when you did that. And I say it's all under the blood. So, or we'll all end up like wicked Drusilla. Anyway, they wanted a private interview, but I don't think it was for the right reasons. But Felix was scared about judgment. And I hope no one's sitting here today worried about judgment. Because you and I, if we belong to Jesus Christ, our sins are gone. And we're under the blood, and we're his child, and those sins will never be brought up again. How beautiful. Not only that, but he gives us robes of righteousness to wear. But don't put it off, because Felix put it off, and he never had another opportunity. You just figure, any of these guys that stood before Paul all had opportunities to come to Christ, to have a clean conscience, to rule with righteousness, and none of them did. That's very sad, and I think it really stirred Paul. And I want to have that same kind of feeling that the people around me may be lost and I can give them Christ, rather than seeing the surface and feeling that they wouldn't be interested or they wouldn't want to talk to me. So, but it's interesting, Paul now has been left in prison over 2 years, and he's all by himself. As I say, we're all his friends. We're all the people. And he really doesn't have much of a chance here. But there was that other question, how would he have ever made it from Jerusalem to Caesarea if it hadn't been for divine protection from the Lord? And then we're going to look at, when he makes it to Rome, that's the next two lessons, without divine protection. And several opportunities to get out of the situation too, but he doesn't take them. He's either innocent or he's guilty. He's either committed treason and deserves death, or he needs to be freed up. He needs to be let go. And they don't. They keep him in prison. But know this, that it scared Felix talking about judgment. But remember, a sinner will never have a convenient season to hear the gospel. Don't bother me with the gospel. I'm too busy over here doing this. Maybe when I'm old and gray like you, I'll think about it. You may never have that opportunity. You don't know when you're home, when you go home. None of us do. It's not everybody who will get to live as 95 years like Annabelle, a dear soul, or Charlotte, or some others. Praise God. Well, how's your conscience doing for you right now? If you have anything on your conscience and it doesn't go away, the chances are the Lord wants you to take some time with him and get take care of that. We should always have a clear conscience towards others and towards God especially. And it's so easy to mess that up. So let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, it's so easy to sin against you by just leaving you out of our lives, by making my own choices, by forgetting that I belong to you and my life isn't my own. It's just so easy to do that. Help us, Lord, to live as we're going to meet you at any time, and that we'd be ready, that our conscience would be clear and lovely before you and before others. Oh, Lord, work in our hearts, Lord. And we ask that you just would bless each of us, Lord. We need to have that nugget of truth to hang on to during the week. Help us to see people as lost and in need of a Savior. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.